against her. She arrives 2 minutes late, which I can forgive. She runs up the steps, looking around her anxiously as she rings on the bell, her shoulders hunched up around her ears, worried that someone might recognise her. Which is unnecessary, because there is no plaque on the wall advertising my services. I let her in, tell her to make herself comfortable. She sits down in the chair, places her handbag at her feet. She's dressed in a navy skirt and white blouse, her hair tied back in a neat ponytail, as if she's come for a job interview. She's right to treat it as such. I don't take just anyone. The fit has to be right. I ask her if she's warm enough. I like to have the window open, but spring hasn't quite shifted into summer yet, and I've had to put the heating on. I gaze out of the window, giving her time to settle, my attention caught by an aeroplane trailing through the sky. There's a polite cough, and I turn my attention back to my client. I angle my body towards her, and, in full therapist mode, ask the standard questions. The first meeting, in some ways, is the most boring. "This doesn't feel right," she says when I'm only halfway through. I look up from my pad where I've been taking notes. "I want you to know and remember that anything you say in this room is confidential," I tell her. She nods. "It's just, I feel incredibly guilty. What could I have to feel unhappy about? I have everything I want." I jot the words happiness and guilt on my pad, then lean forward and stare directly into her eyes. "Do you know what Henry David Thoreau believed? Happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you turn your attention to other things, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder." She smiles, relaxes. I knew she'd like that one. Chapter 1. The sound of excited voices draws me away from the box of books I'm unpacking. It's been so quiet all day that it's hard to believe I'm actually in London. Back in Harleston, there would have been familiar external noises. Birds, the occasional car or tractor, sometimes a horse going past. Here, in the circle, everything is silent. Even with the windows open, there's been only the occasional sound. It isn't what I was expecting, which I guess is a good thing. From the upstairs window in Leo's study, I look down to the road outside. A woman with a white blonde pixie cut, wearing shorts and a vest top, is hugging another woman, tall, slim, with coppery red hair. I know the smaller woman is our neighbour. I saw her late last night outside number 5, pulling suitcases from the back of a car with a man. The other woman I haven't seen before, but she looks as if she belongs here, with her perfectly fitting navy jeans and crisp white t-shirt hugging the contours of her toned upper body. I should move away, because if they look up at the house, they might see me standing here. But my need for company is too strong, so I stay where I am. "I was going to call in on the way back from my run, I promise," the small woman is saying. The tall woman shakes her head, but there's a smile in her voice. "Not good enough, Eve. I was expecting you yesterday." "Eve, so that's her name," laughs. "It was 10 in the evening by the time we arrived, way too late to disturb you. When did you get back?" "Saturday, in time for the children going back to school today." A sudden wind rustles the leaves of the sycamore trees, which line the square opposite the house, and snatches away the rest of her reply. It's very pretty here, like a movie set depicting an enviable life in the capital city. I didn't really believe places like this existed until Leo showed me the photos, and even then, it had felt too good to be true. My attention is caught by a delivery van coming through the black gates at the entrance to the circle, directly opposite.